This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Portland, if you've ever wondered where to get your Blazers, Ducks, and Bees, it's right here on the airwaves of 1080. 1080 The Fan with Danny and Dusty. It's Danny and Dusty and Rust from noon till 3.
Danny and Dusty on this Monday afternoon. Thanks for being a part of our day, letting us be a part of yours. The NFL Combine in the rearview mirror. We'll do a little dipsy dive into the Combine later in the show. But the NFL has been hot and heavy getting ready for the league new year, which gets started next week. I think we're 9 days away from the league new year. And there's a lot of action that happened over the weekend. And then today, I think today's biggest news, T. Higgins has been hit with the franchise tag. The Cincinnati Bengals wide receiver trying to negotiate with the team. And it's been public, man. At the Combine, you saw their GM saying, we want T to be here long term. And what happens next? You have a T. Higgins quote to tweet of that comment with the cap. Uh-oh, that's not good. That's not good. Today, a $26.2 million franchise tag slapped on T. Higgins, which means it's fully guaranteed for this year if he has to play under the tag. But they have time that they can negotiate with T. Higgins from now until July and hopefully get a long-term deal put in place with T. Higgins. And it appears that that's going to be the path that this Bengals team goes down. It's going to be critical in the next, you know, week or so, because they have to get Trey Hendrickson locked and loaded. They have to get T. Higgins on a long-term deal. They had to cut today Alex Kappa, their starting guard, in order to create the salary cap space to make this work. But they've cleared the runway to make both a long-term deal for Higgins and Hendrickson viable for the Bengals.
Well, it's going to be interesting that kind of comes out of all this is, what does Burrow end up doing?
How much does that restructure look like? Yeah.
And I think that's the – I mean, when you're talking about Burrow and injuries, cutting Alex Kappa is a bit of a surprise in the sense of, like, hey, you need to keep this guy upright.
Yeah. Here's the thing. He's been dinged up.
Yes.
He's been injured, and he's been in and out of the lineup. I think they're just going, all right, if we can replace with a – if we can replace him through the draft, get some young talent. Like, this draft, by the way, this draft is an anomaly. This draft is the first NFL draft since the merger where every single team has their first-round pick.
Which merger was – 66?
Yeah, 67. Or 1970. No, that was the NBA, ABA. Yeah. No, that was 77. No, I think it was 70. 1970.
Did I catch a niner in there?
I think it was 1970. But every single team still holds their first round
66.
Pick. 66?
Yeah.
That's from Andrew Siciliano. That's a long time, man.
Yeah, no, it really is. Like, when you think about the way first round picks have been traded and having, you know, however many picks out you go, and some of those bigger swaps, like the Trey Lance deal. I think that's what you're seeing, is that ever since that transaction, certainly you had, like, some first-round swaps, but those big packages of multiple-year firsts, you're not seeing those as frequently. You had the Trey Lance, you had the Bryce Young.
Well, and we'll see it We'll probably see it leading up to the draft because there's already the rumblings that the Jets and the Giants, they both want to move up to number one with Tennessee. But, you know, they will obviously have a first round pick. It just may get swapped with somebody else. But the value of a first round pick, cheap, young, high end talent, that means a whole heck of a lot in the National Football League because, look, not every team is primed and in a position to go F them picks, Los Angeles Rams. And the scouting departments are valuing those picks so much more because you get a fifth year of affordable talent when you pick up that option on a first round pick,
especially when you hit.
But T. Higgins, and as it pertains to the Bengals, look, this could get even more messy. Do you see that cash earnings from 2024 to 2025? T. Higgins, very upset with the Bengals. He will sit eighth of all wide receivers.
Good Lord.
Over 2024 and 2025 seasons. $47.9 million. He's only behind Justin Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb, Tyreek Hill, Devontae Adams, A.J. Brown, Brandon Ayuk, and Calvin Ridley. Calvin Ridley's an outlier in there.
Yeah, one of these is not like the other.
Yeah, but those are your top eight cash-earning receivers in the NFL over last year and then this year as well. So the Bengals, they franchise tag Higgins. Now they're in a situation where they've got to work out long-term deals with Trey Hendrickson and T. Higgins in order to keep this thing moving long-term. And to tag him now, it puts you in a position to where now you can move forward, right? And you can sit there and you can start in earnest these negotiations, especially with the Kappa deal. Now you got to work on Joe Burrow for any ancillary moves. And that's the thing with Burrow. The Burrow contract restructure, they've cleared the deck enough to make sure that they can re-sign the two guys they need to re-sign this year. The restructure for Burrow will be the icing on the cake for anything else that they want to do moving forward. The Commanders made the deal of over the weekend, though. They trade a fifth-round pick to San Francisco for Deebo Samuel.
Go get you another weapon. Deebo Samuel being your number two guy, it's a good place to have him.
It'll be interesting to see how they use him, but a fifth round pick for Deebo that's gravy, man. Because yes, you are going to have to pick up, I think $22 million, I think it is, over the next 2 years. But San Francisco is biting $15 million against the cap this year by trading Deebo. Like that, they just needed any sort of relief that they possibly could get from the Deebo deal. Commanders have one of the highest, I think they're third in the NFL in salary cap space heading into this offseason. They had the ability to do it. They go out and Cliff Kingsbury, he likes bubble screens. He likes tunnel screens. You have a guy that can do that. He's going to have to get out of his comfort zone to maximize Deebo Samuel, though, because the way Kyle Shanahan's offense operates is completely different than Cliff Kingsbury. They will go through this season, and there was going to be a little bit of a learning curve on how you use a guy like Deebo Samuel, because you're going to hand the ball off to him. You're going to have shovel passes to him. You're going to use him in that bubble, in that tunnel screen game. It's not a complete fit, though, with Deebo in Washington. It'll be a good one because Cliff Kingsbury is a phenomenal play caller. But their offense is going to look a little bit different in Washington with Deebo, because he's a different cat and a unique
tool. He's deployed very differently than any other wide receiver in the league. You don't even treat him like a wide receiver. He's just kind of a jack-of-all-trades kind of guy.
You know what the crazy part about that is, though? Field Yates pointed this out over the weekend. That fifth-round pick from Washington to San Francisco, if it is this year, which everybody believes it is, it'll be pick 148. That's the pick that they acquired in the trade for Marshawn Lattimore. So the net deal would be the Commanders get Marshawn Lattimore and Deebo Samuel for a 2025 third round, fourth round, and sixth round pick.
That's good business.
That's two highlight. Adam Peters is doing a great job in just two short seasons in
Washington.
Where
did Peters come from?
San Francisco. Yeah. Yep.
So is he familiar with Deebo Samuel?
He is.
Yeah. And he goes, hey, we've got a coordinator who's really good and creative and very similar minded, I would say, to Kyle Shanahan. And we've got a franchise quarterback and we have a number one wide receiver.
I mean, well, Cliff Kingsbury's way different.
No, different. Not the same, but I'm saying, like,
I have my questions if Deebo will be utilized anywhere
to his fullest.
Close.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, because that is not Cliff Kingsbury's style. The run game, the principles of their run game are completely different. They go way more in the gun than even the 49ers do. San Francisco's more condensed, and by nature, Cliff Kingsbury is more spread you out. But that's not to say it'll just be a different way that they maximize his value. But get the ball in your damn playmaker's hands. Now you got two. And what a defense has to do is they got to worry about where Jaden Daniels can run the ball, mm-hmm. where Deebo Samuel is at all times, and then where Terry McLaurin is. That is the pressure it puts on a defense is enormous.
And they have some interesting backs in the backfield that are also multi-tooled. They aren't the best, but again.
They don't have me shaking in my boots if I'm a defensive coordinator, but you needed somebody that didn't. They accomplished that by going out and they got a Deebo Samuel. I mean, Brian Robinson, when healthy, is just as good as anybody, man.
That's what I mean. You've got some. And I think that's what the Commanders are doing. This is kind of what we were talking about before the trade deadline in the NFL. Like, would they go out and go get a weapon? Instead, they were like, all right, let's see what we have.
Yeah.
And I ultimately think they made the right choice. And Deebo's not going to be there for the long haul because he is 29 and he is dinged up.
Yep.
But you get a guy who is going to elevate you in the short term.
Yep.
And when his contract comes off in a couple, has he got 2 years, I think?
He's got 2 years, but it'll be interesting how they go about it.
Yeah.
Because you can restructure it. You can sign him to a short-term extension. But a guy with that injury history, that is extensive, mm-hmm. and he's getting a little long in the tooth. I don't know if you want to give him a whole lot.
And I think you're going to be careful with it. But
But
at the end of that deal, you're still going to have Jaden on his rookie deal. So the year before his rookie deal, you can load up one more time.
Go get it.
And I think that's this is the arc up, right? Like, hey, we're going to give you another weapon. It's going to be a short-term one, but it's going to be for a short-term deal so that we can do this one more time before we sign you to your extension.
They are opening up a window.
Yes.
Right now, for sure. Also of note today, Khalil Shakir, the wide receiver for the Bills, put pen to paper on a 4-year extension, $60.2 million for Khalil Shakir. He is going to be the man in Buffalo for a few years, and that's a good deal for them. It's, what, $15 million a year? That's a good deal for a wide receiver right now.
He clearly has a good relationship with Josh Allen, and the way he plays fits how they're kind of doing things. If you can ink your wide receiver at that price, look, Shakir is not a number one, but if you get a number two, in which I think Shakir very much is, at that price point.
It's a far better place to be in than where the Jets are right now, where they're having to shop Davante Adams
on the cheap
and a massive amount of money coming up for Davante Adams. Let's call it what it is. Wherever Aaron Rodgers goes, that's where Davante Adams is going.
Very likely.
All right. So there's your movement in the NFL. Also, the Eagles cut Darius Slay, 6-time Pro Bowler. He's getting long in the tooth.
Yeah.
And oh, by the way, I don't know if anybody saw the secondary in Philly. They're young. They're really damn good.
The exciting whites are pretty good.
I think they'll be okay. And then Quinyon Mitchell.
Yeah.
Not too bad.
No.
Not too bad. All right.
Three of your four starters are absolute dudes, and they're all kids.
Clemson and Florida State, their escape route is planned and could be put in motion by as early as tomorrow. Danny and Dusty on the Fan. All right, the pathway for Clemson and Florida State to escape the ACC is starting to become more and more clear. Ross Dellinger, Yahoo Sports, several others reporting that the ACC is going to be meeting tomorrow.
Oh.
And they are going to put wheels in motion for a plan to change the way the conference structures their distribution of revenue. And they're going to tie it to two things mainly. Number one is television revenue will be distributed to the schools that garner the biggest ratings. So it will tier out and they'll rank and file every single one based on how many people are watching your games.
Where have I heard this before? Oh, that's right. The Pac-12.
Yeah. It didn't work for the Pac-12. But this is just to hold on to their seat. This is the difference, though, is that in order to keep your seat at the table of the Power Four, they know they need Clemson, Florida State, Miami, to be in the conference. So football and men's basketball television ratings, you are going to get a rank and file of who watches those games, and then boom, you're going to start seeing at that point the everybody else will fall into place. There's a difference here in that right now Clemson and Florida State usually do get very big ratings, but when you tie basketball into it, Duke and North Carolina, they're on board with this because they're like, oh yeah, we're going to dwarf everybody in that. In that realm, we are going to be the kings of this. And anytime you play any of those schools, all of a sudden your ratings start to go up as well. But what you get a more true picture of it over the course of your entire season that, all right, we know who are the top and who are the bottom. The other thing will be the investment in success bonuses that the conference will pay out. More money you put in, more money you get from the conference. So if you're just sitting there collecting a check saying, hey, we're here, we're okay, Wake Forest, then it's going to be one of those situations where they go, all right, you don't get as much money as these schools that are actually carrying the weight here for the conference. Seems fair, especially if you're looking at all these lawsuits you're probably going to lose. And in all of this, there's going to be a buyback program for Clemson and Florida State or whoever else wants to do this to where they can essentially buy their way out of the conference without ponying up $100 million
in a lump sum.
Based on the new metrics that they have, they can say, we're going to start putting money away to where deuces, we're out. And they're saying instead of 2036, which is when the television deal gets done, this could be done in the next, you know, 5 years when the next big reshuffle in college sports happens.
Which all of it makes sense. Look, I mean, Clemson and Florida State are looking around and going, we do not want to end up like Stanford. We do not want to end up like one of these schools that it just has to scramble. And they're good enough and their success is long enough and they've been at the top more frequently enough that they can justify that. And the ACC, as much as they can fight against it, as you said, these legal battles, these schools, these conferences, the NCAA at large, they're getting it handed to them over and over and over again. And they realize, like, we could drag this out, or we can make the money now while the getting is good and put a plan in place over the next 5 years that makes more sense for us going forward, whatever that world may be, and we can better prepare ourselves so we're not blindsided like the Pac-12 was.
Well, and I think that there's two parts of this. One, what you just said in that the conference can't feel good that they're going to win it, but for Florida State and Clemson, they can't feel good that they'd be accepted by the Big Ten or the SEC because
right now, specifically,
for any of the expansion for those conferences to add anybody else, they would need to get their big TV partners, so Fox for the Big Ten, ESPN for the SEC, to pony up $100 million more per year. Because all the other schools are going to go, why would we bring you in if we're not getting that much more money? We're not getting that much more money, so deuces, you guys can go sit on the sideline. So as the ACC feels uncomfortable about the landscape and the courts and the way that all of these institutions have been just getting it handed to them, Clemson and Florida State also are feeling a little bit in that we're not so sure that they're just going to welcome us with open arms and say, hey, you don't have a place to go? You're going to come on in. Because that money is a lot of money when you're already giving up billions of dollars to the SEC and the Big Ten.
But it also makes more sense and it gives a runway for them to make that move in a couple of years, at which point in time when the reshuffle happens and we move to a Super League or whatever it is, of which we know Clemson and Florida State would be a part of.
They would. Clemson would be. Florida State's interesting because they're just treated like a stepchild
now. They are, but like as far as they're not blue blood, but they're about as close as you get if they're not. Oregon is certainly ahead of them in that pecking order, but Florida State is also right there.
The weird thing about Florida State is that by all of the reporting that's out there, it is the conferences, the Big Ten and the SEC is really who we're talking about here, right? Their hesitance is that they look at it and they say, well, you guys are just loud and you make a big fuss about stuff when you really don't have a leg to stand on right now. What are you doing? You know, and they don't want that to be a part of, you know, their conference, where everything is a gravy train right now in the Big Ten and the SEC. We're finally seeing an SEC that doesn't have infighting. Big Ten is just happy as can be right now with the way that everything's going, because I don't know, they've won back-to-back national titles too.
Not just that, the established pecking order of like, hey, you bottom tier teams in our conference, you're going to shut up, yep, and you're going to take what you get, because if you don't, and they point to all of the schools that are out there trying to scrap and claw and find something to stay relevant, you'll be out. Like, yep, we'll dump you for them.
Yep.
So shut up. Like, everything has kind of fallen in line, as it were. Nobody's acting out of pocket and trying, like, well, no, we've been a, you don't hear Vanderbilt down there anymore going, well, we've been a part of this conference forever. We're an established institution. We're, you know, all this. In the Big Ten, you're not hearing, you know, Illinois going a little crazy, or you're not hearing Purdue, you know, like, well, we've been a part of this conference forever. It's a tradition. It's all this. Because all that stuff, when it comes down to it, when you know, the rubber meets the road, as it were, when dollars come to donuts, the dollars speak very loud and very clear. And it's better to shut up and get what you can with the big boys than to be out on the street trying to figure everything else out.
One thing I found interesting in here, too, is that Notre Dame, with their scheduling agreement with the ACC, every year they will now be forced to play two of the three. So any combination, they'll have to play two of either Clemson, Miami, or Florida State each year in the football. That's big. So they just don't get a rollover schedule in college football, to where their pathway is really clear, mm-hmm, if they go the route of just playing NC State and Duke over and over and over, mm-hmm, again. So it's a times are changing, and Notre Dame actually going to be forced to play some of those big boys at least twice every single year. And if you look at their schedule next year, their schedule is ramping up a little bit at Notre Dame. They only have one of those big three next year. It's Miami to open up the year on the road at the U. Then they play Texas A&M. They have Arkansas on the road. They have Boise State going to South Bend. USC will go to Notre Dame this year, which is obviously every single year. So they got five games next year to where you go, all right, that could be pretty good. Mm-hmm. This past year, their schedule was not good.
No.
They played Texas A&M, a down USC team, mm-hmm, which if USC's down again, pitchforks are coming for Lincoln Riley,
Lincoln,
no matter how much
Lincoln he fired. Makes.
But their ACC games that they played, Louisville,
that ain't Lamar Jackson's Louisville.
Georgia Tech.
Feisty Kings.
Florida State. Yeah. Virginia.
Oof. Basketball school.
And then they played Stanford as well. Those were their ACC games this past year.
Oof.
That's not a... And the Stanford is also a rivalry game that they were playing when Stanford was in the Pac-12.
Yeah.
So... Their schedule was not good. And they played Purdue, Miami of Ohio, lost to Northern Illinois as well. And they played Navy and Army. That Notre Dame team was damn good.
It was.
But if you were to put that resume up against any of the other teams in the college football playoff, they would have not gotten in.
No.
I mean, they were one loss, so yeah, you're getting in. And it was early, losing late. Bad, losing early, good, and they were just pumping teams late in the year. But
in the cachet that comes with Notre Dame.
That is a god-awful schedule.
Yes.
It really is. They played the national championship game. They were really good at the end of the year. Yeah. I don't want to get it twisted. They were one of the best teams in college football at the end of the year. But that schedule,
I will twist it. They weren't deserving of it.
they only beat Indiana.
Wait, what? Danny's gonna be twisted about something?
They only beat Indiana, Georgia, and Penn State. Path was not the most difficult, but dude, they were really damn good at the end of the year, and they gave Ohio State a run for their money as far as Ohio State in the playoff goes, because they were demolishing teams.
Everyone.
All right. So we're getting movement in the ACC, and it appears that the pathway out is going to be in about 5 years for Florida State and Clemson if they do choose to vacate the ACC.
Coming up on Worst Day on the Web, there is one man that's standing up for all the little people. And by all the little people, I mean all of us moviegoers who are sick and tired.
Jeff Rust.
Of how long those previews and commercials are.
Don't attach me on any of this yet. That's not fair.
No, I think you're going to...
Already attached.
A man sued a movie theater chain and won because he had mental distress over just how long those trailers are. We'll get to that more, but first, here's the Big Kahuna Sports Center update.
You mind if I have some of your tasty beverage to wash this down?
It's time for today's worst day on the web. With Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
Well, that sucks.
It's not the hero we asked for, but it's the hero we need. A 31-year-old lawyer from Bangalore, India, decided to take action against the biggest movie chain in India and sued them for mental agony as a result of 30 minutes of commercials that preceded a 2023 screening of the film Sam Bahadur. According to the court...
What?
It's a Hollywood war drama.
Was that the one that just won?
Or Bollywood, excuse me.
All the stuff?
No, it was a different movie.
Okay.
But there's a war drama. Bollywood does, their own stuff.
Yeah.
But the suggested runtime of the movie was 2 hours and 25 minutes, and the movie was slated to start at 4:05 and be out at 6:30.
Mm-hmm.
He scheduled a work call for after that, but he could not take the work call because the movie ran past 7:00. He counted over 17 different commercials and 2 public service announcements before the movie even began.
Yeah, I noticed this because I don't go to the movies often.
Mm-hmm.
And I took my kids to a movie a couple weeks ago. It's egregious. It's
30 to 40 minutes.
It is. And a lot of them, like it used to be like right when the movie was supposed to start, right when the start time starts. It would go to, you get your previews of the movie. Any of the commercial stuff would be running while people are just filing into the theater, yeah. Right?
You get your Regal roller coaster movie.
Right. But now it is, all of the other stuff is just playing at all times.
Like, and Maria Menounos?
Yes. It sucks, dude.
It
took forever for that movie to start. I was just like, this isn't the way it used to be. And then you would only get like the traditional movie trailers, there's only like a couple. And it's like, what did I just sit through?
And look, I get it.
I'm with this guy.
The movie industry is in a tough place. The margins are razor thin. Everything that kind of comes along with that, I get that. And they have to try to monetize everything, whether it's their movie passes that end up failing every single time. Whatever it is that they do. But yeah, 30, 40 minutes is egregious. So this guy ended up winning the case.
Good.
So they actually have to either change, like, he ended up winning it under...
Now, this is in the UK, though, right?
In India.
Oh, it's in India?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this does not pertain to us. We need our lawyer bros to get on this. For us here, stateside.
He actually ended up winning the case under an unfair trade practice.
Oh, all right.
Because they said it was going to start at X and end at Y, which is...
I like it.
Pretty simple.
We should do this with our... sporting events.
Tell you what, how about with concerts and such?
Yeah, no, it's actually
you say the concert starts at 7:00. Guess what? I don't want to hear crappy System of a Down.
You know what? You know what we do here in the States though is that we put the legalese into everything, saying this is an estimated time that it'll start the concert, because there's people that will cancel concerts. You don't get a refund. Sometimes.
Erykah Badu canceled her concert 2 weeks ago here in Portland, 10 minutes before the doors opened. She missed her flight.
I once went in the eighth or ninth grade, went up to the Tacoma Dome.
The snowstorm. New Kids on the Block, MC Hammer.
MC Hammer, MFers. Yes. And we sat in the Tacoma Dome for, 3 hours? 3 hours before they said, he wasn't able to make it back here from Portland last night.
Yeah. That was...
I was 12.
That was a snowstorm, right? Wasn't that snow that did that?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, but you made it up.
We made it up there.
You made it up for Hammer.
And we
time.
Made it back home. It took us 6 hours to get back home.
Yeah. Dang.
And my mom made me go to school the next day.
Well, as she should. You come from an educated family.
I mean,
school's
important. We got home at like 4 a.m, dude. Let us have a day off.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
It was terrible.
And you didn't get to see Hammer Time.
I know.
It's a double whammy.
And also, I was too young to realize what the ladies in the parking lot were trying to offer us.
Well, what were they?
I'm going to leave it blank.
This guy sued for...
Wait, a 12-year-old? That's even aggressive for them.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm telling you, eighth, ninth grade. Yeah. It was a lot.
He sued for 50,000 rupees, which is $574 in damages. He applied for another 5,000 rupees, which is $57 for the mental agony, and a further 10,000 rupees is $115 to cover legal costs.
That's what I'm talking about. Wait, isn't he the lawyer?
Yeah, he's covering his legal costs.
I gotta work.
They found in favor of the lawyer and ordered the chain to pay him $230 in damage, a further $92 in costs. And the company was ordered to pay another $1,148 to the Consumer Welfare Fund, a government body that aims to protect consumers. So he won.
Good for him.
We now have the roadmap to stick it to big theater.
Yeah, and it is suing over the previews. This is not a fight that any of us can take up, though, because we're not educated lawyer men. We need the lawyer bros to get on this.
Yeah.
But I don't think they go to movies. No, like the Oscars were last night.
And I can tell you right now.
I didn't watch
it. If there's something that I could care less about, I don't know what it is.
I saw Conan. I saw some clips of Conan. Conan was pretty good from what I saw, but I only saw little clips of it. Dude, I saw one movie this year. And it was Dog Man with my kids. That one up for anything.
Well, and the ones that were up for like the top even, awards, we the best
we didn't even go to see that one. We just bought it at home like a week later. It cost us $25 to get it at home.
What
did you pay to go to the theater?
$80 cheaper than me and my three kids.
Exactamundo.
My entire social media timeline was like
30.
Who does the people that made Emilia Perez have blackmail on?
Oh.
Everybody's like, I don't get it. How does this win anything?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know either. No, Dog Man not up for any awards this year. Yeah.
Not nominated, huh?
Who would have thunk that?
What? Unbelievable. Yeah.
I can't believe that. That's so crazy. Weird.
Yeah.
All right, from one redemption story to another, we have one man who sues the big theater and wins. How about a guy that spent some hard time in prison making good on the golf course?
Hells yeah.
Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan. Very few things in this world, and particularly this country, that we love more than a good comeback story. And you'd have to struggle to find one much better than this. Ryan Peake is a former motorcycle gang member out of Australia. When he was 21 years old, he was arrested for assault. He was a part of a gang that's outlawed in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew he went to jail when I heard this story. I didn't realize that he went. I thought it was like kind of a 18-month, 16-month kind of.
Nope.
He went to jail for 5 years.
Yeah, his story is awesome. He grew up like playing the same circuit as Cam Smith growing up. And they were like buddies and they were comparable in their skill. And then he just got in with the motorcycle gangs and obviously made some bad decisions, went to the slammer for five years. And like, we don't really talk about this all that much. I had some friends that went over to New Zealand. They said that the biker gangs over there are real.
Oh yeah.
Like it's a real deal in New Zealand and in Australia. And he goes out and he ended up, he said, I know my past. I know my past is behind me. I'm playing golf now and
I'm trying to make right.
I'm doing a really good job of it. And he is, man. I think that's awesome. I think that is an awesome story because there's so many people that just want to, somebody makes a mistake, you want to flush them down the toilet and they go away forever, right? This dude is going and just saying, all right, I made some mistakes. I was young. I was dumb. Now.
And I paid for him.
I'm going to do right and use the skills that I was blessed with to go and dominate the golf course. And there would be nothing more intimidating than stepping up because he's got a big old sleeve tattoo. Mm-hmm. Just stepping up on the tee box and this dude is all sleeved out and he just looks at you and pipes one like 335. You're going, oh it's going to be one of those days.
And he almost didn't have this opportunity because the tournament that he won was the New Zealand Open.
Mm-hmm.
Because of his criminal past, it was a fight to get the paperwork necessary to go into New Zealand. New Zealand is not a country. Like, I don't think people realize this. I'm not going to get too political. As broken as our immigration system is, and even with travel visas and stuff like that, America is one of the easiest countries in the world to get into. Unless you have a disgustingly awful past.
Yeah.
Most countries in the world, if you've got criminal records, they won't let you in.
Yeah.
Like, do not pass go, turn around, we're not going to have you here. New Zealand and Australia are very high on that list.
So they also over there, have you heard of this? They have a banned list of names.
Mm-hmm.
So
I'm going to guess they're all Australian.
Because
it's New Zealand and stuff. They hate the Nazis.
No, they have a banned list of names, and it is really damn long. You can't name anybody after royalty.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's one of their laws. You can't name your kid, like, Casey. You can't name your kid Fanny, which that's, like, a European, like, a British one and Australian one, too. But you can't name your kid Fanny. You can't name your kid Captain or Chief over there.
What about Boss or Pal or Friend?
No. Or Jefe?
El Jefe, can't do that. Can't do Boss there. That one, it seems to be on the list. No Judge, Justice, King Killa, Knight.
That sounds like a Mike Tyson's Punch-Out foe.
Yeah. Lucifer is a no.
Yeah. The Justice one's tough, man. Justice Winslow can't go down there and play some post-NBA basketball.
You can't even name
good
your
luck
kid.
If you're Judge Winslow, too, or Judge Reinhold, excuse me.
Yeah.
Judge Reinhold.
JP is straight out there. You can't do that. Rogue? Huh. Can't name your kid Isis.
They're not a fan of X-Men, apparently.
Not sure why you would want to name your kid Isis, but can't do it.
Before the terrorist group, Isis was the Egyptian goddess of... Oh, God.
Does it really matter?
I can't remember. Egyptian goddess.
You can't name your kid Notoriety?
That seems like a problem here in the U.S.
Darn it, I was so close.
Scratching that off the baby list names.
All right. Yeah. Let's get rid of Notoriety Rust.
These are all names that they rejected last year.
There you go. it's insane that you have to submit and get approval from a government to name what you name your child. But as it pertains to Ryan Peake, by winning the New Zealand Open, he is now qualified for the Open Championship.
Hey, yeah, look at that.
That's pretty damn cool.
That is awesome. That's a great turnaround story, and it's one of those guys that people are going to quickly glom onto and try to start rooting for. I mean, that will be a guy that people want to pull for because he is doing right now. And dude was, like, legit in a biker gang.
Yeah.
Like, he had his vest. He had all of it.
Mm-hmm.
And now, even the prison time, 5 years in first
all. I wonder how you work on your swing in prison.
Oh, a lot of time. You just kind of sit there and you just practice. What else are you going to do?
I don't know. Ask Charlie Hunnam or Ron Perlman or the cat that looks like him.
I have no
you
idea.
You going full Sons of Anarchy there?
What you're talking about.
See, Danny got it.
Yeah. Oh, Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah.
Ask them how you do it in prison, how you work on your golf swing.
Biker gang,
I mean, you'll be able to lift weights.
Get too big, though.
Nah, man, just work on your flexibility.
There you go.
Get plenty of time.
Don't go heavy.
Yeah.
Body weight.
Yeah, yeah. Or, I mean, go heavy. Just become a long drive guy.
Oh, there you go.
You know, makes the flat stick a little tougher, but get
even more intimidating.
Around the green may be a little off.
Go full on Lisa Longball.
I don't know what that means.
Yeah, you got me on that one.
Don't know who that is.
All right, she's a professional, like, golfer. Long drive lady.
Oh, her name is Lisa Longball?
That's what she presents
herself
as.
That's a great name. Oh, so that's not her government last name.
I don't think it was a birthright, no, but...
It definitely wouldn't be in New Zealand. You can't do that.
The fan Twitter account follows her, so I see her pop up.
Okay. All right. Okay.
There you go.
Hey, good for Ryan Peake. I like this. I'm in on this story.
It's a good space to be. All right, coming up next, the Portland Trailblazers play a back-to-back. They're taking on the Philadelphia 76ers after the best loss of the season against the Cleveland Cavaliers. What can we expect from the rest of this road trip as they do have two very difficult games after the 76ers game? That and more on Danny Dusty, Tenney the Fan.